back to the Gospel of St. Luke, the 24th chapter. This is a colorful story of Jesus' appearance to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It answers the question of how Jesus is to be recognized among us. Here, he's revealed through the scriptures in the breaking of the bread. Luke writes, "Now on that day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are you discussing with each other while you're walking along?' They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been taking place there in these days?' He asked them, 'What things?' They replied, 'The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the 3rd day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. That's the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Not long ago, I was at the stoplight closer to downtown on Main, and I got distracted. I was watching a teenager who was doing wheelies on his bike right there on the corner, and I'm just sitting there watching him, and all at once this horn blares behind me. There was a trucker who told me that the light had changed to green. I was distracted and I didn't see what was happening. But sometimes we all need a wake-up call, don't we? Sometimes we have to have that to get our attention. My father was a smoker most of his life. And then they discovered cancer in his lung. And he woke up. He became an anti-smoking crusader, I think that's the best way of putting it. One of my neighbors ignored the doctor's warnings about the tendency to have diabetes until she went into a diabetic coma. A teenager I worked with in Baltimore, Maryland, ignored the sign by the river that said, no diving, until he dived in, hit the bottom, and broke his neck and almost died. If it hadn't been for friends who saw it happen. What does it take to get our attention? Many times we ignore the warning signs because all those kinds of things happen to other people. They aren't going to happen to us. We're somehow immune to cancer, heart disease, diabetes, the coronavirus. You name it, whatever it is, we can justify the fact that it won't happen to us. Over the centuries, God has given lots of warnings. Some people paid attention. Others just totally ignored God. Noah, for instance, was one who had paid attention to what God said, built a boat, and saved his family. Whereas those around him laughed at him, ridiculed him, and drowned. Moses paid attention to God speaking to him in a burning bush, but Pharaoh refused to pay attention to God and suffered through 10 plagues, losing his own son and his army. Isaiah was one of the prophets, in fact, most of the prophets, often tried to get people's attention, but he had trouble getting their attention. They had trouble getting their attention by telling them the things that were about to take place. One example is the prophet Isaiah, who was trying to tell the king and the people that they needed to return to the Lord their God, because if not, bad things were going to happen. To illustrate this, Isaiah walked around naked for a whole year. It still didn't help. They ended up going into exile anyway. Another prophet of that period of time was the prophet Jeremiah, who tried to get across the same message. But they put him in stocks, they laughed at him, they ridiculed him, they threw him in prison, they threw him in a well. They did just about everything they could think of to get rid of him. For a time, Jeremiah walked around with an ox yoke over his shoulders to illustrate what God was trying to tell them. But they weren't listening. They ended up in exile. John the Baptist cried, "Repent!" The unrepentant people were introduced to the Messiah, but they never knew him. So what does it take to get people's attention? They have an interesting thing in Poland. The day after Easter, on Monday after Easter, they call that Wet Monday. And the kids are given permission, in fact encouraged, to go around and splash water on the adults. Now, this was not intended to be buckets of water, just a splash. And people's response was to be, "Thanks, I needed that." The whole idea was they were thanking the kids for reminding them of their baptism. The water reminded them that they too were inheritors of eternal life, that they too were inheritors of the Easter resurrection of Jesus, because he rose from the dead and they were baptized into his name, they would receive the same reward. But people are very difficult to preach to. I've been at it for about 50 years, and sometimes I wonder, am I just flapping my gums? Am I just wasting all my energy preparing a sermon and going through the motions and doing everything? And does anybody really listen? And what really brings it to mind is our first reading. Peter is preaching a sermon. Peter is preaching this sermon and really gets into people's hearts. And I feel even envious of what happens here. 3,000 people were baptized. 3,000 people were converted. I'm thinking, I think in 50 years of ministry, I don't think I've baptized 300 people. And some of those, I am guessing, wandered astray anyway. But these baptisms that Peter is performing brought about change in people. I mean major change. They spent the majority of their time, every free hour they had, learning the scriptures so that they knew what happened, why Jesus came, and what Jesus did for them. Harley Swiggum, who wrote the Bethel Bible series, declared that we Christians today have it all backwards. He would make the point that Jesus blessed the children and taught the adults, whereas we bless the adults and teach the children. Maybe we need to turn that around. But not only did they study the scriptures and meet together for meals and prayers, but they served the needs of others based on what they knew to be the Word of God and the calling of God. But what makes people change like that? Tom Harris, the psychiatrist who wrote the book I'm Okay, You're Okay, says there are three things that will make people change. One is when it's more painful to remain where you are than to change, they will change. The second is when they reach the point of despair. Anyone who has been around an addict of any kind, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever, realize that people sometimes have to reach the bottom of the barrel, the really depths of despair, before they feel the need to make any change. But Harris also says there's another one. And that's what he calls the eureka stage, when they discover that there is something better that they've been missing all of this time. And that's the message of the gospel today. There are these disciples. They've heard the rumors. And rumors of that day spread like wildfire. Of course, we've got some of that that goes on today, too. But these guys didn't have newspapers, they didn't have Twitter, they didn't have anything like that. All they had was word of mouth. And they heard these rumors that the tomb was empty and he was gone. And then these wild stories that, well, he was alive. How could that possibly be? And then Jesus walks with them on the road. And they don't recognize him. And they begin to share what's happened. And he shares the scriptures, revealing all of what has happened and explaining how it all fit together. And their hearts burn within them, wanting to know more. You ever had that situation where you've been with somebody and you can't wait to get together again because you want to know more and more of what they have said or what they have done? Yeah, that's them. And then they invite him home. And he reveals himself in the breaking of the bread. Wow. And then he disappears. Now, there are probably some of you saying, well, yeah, that may have been a eureka moment for them, but what about for us? I mean, after all, they actually walked and talked with Jesus. Well, the question for us is, how many times has Jesus walked with you and you didn't recognize him, just like they did not? How many times have you been Jesus to someone else? and walk with somebody through difficult times. You see, it works both ways. Jesus lives in us, so we are called upon to walk with those who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death also. But there are other times when someone we had not even thought of as a friend of Jesus walks with us and talks with us. Maybe we don't even know he's there. How many people in our congregation or around the world at mealtime say, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest"? I would guess lots of hands are raising because many people say that prayer. But do we really mean it? Do we really want Jesus to come and sit with us at our table? Do we really believe that when we pray that prayer, he is there? That Jesus is not just allowing that to be a meaningless prayer, but if we invite him in, he is there. Never underestimate the power of Holy Communion either. What we believe is that when we invite Jesus to be part of this communion service, he is present in with and under the bread and the wine. If our hearts are open to receive him, he comes to us and he partakes with us. And we, if we have eyes of faith, can realize we are in a eureka moment. And we are the Easter people, where we believe that we look for the extraordinary in the ordinary things around us. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our ears, Lord. Help us see Jesus. Is Christ really speaking to you? Is he speaking to you in your joy, beyond your sorrow, your depression, your hurt, your pain? Is Christ speaking to me? Yes, he is. Easter people invite Jesus into their lives and would rather wear out than rust out. The sad disciples were gathered together and it looked like the end of everything. They were filled with the inevitable disappointment. Jesus, our hope, is dead and gone. But the glad disciples are ready to race out and share the good news, keeping the rust off. These are the ones who serve in so many ways. In our own congregation, those who sing in the choir and play the bells, care for the altar, plant flowers, deliver meals on wheels, mow the lawn, call on shut-ins, and give seriously and generously. These are the Easter people. People who are constantly on the edge of adventure, ready for the eureka moments when Jesus will make himself known to us. Not just in words, but in deeds and in love. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And let's sing together hymn number 366, if you have a hymnal. We'll sing the three verses. And the Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia comes at the very beginning and then at the end of the third verse.